Reddit did to do and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, March 21st. Whoops, sorry for that. Got a little feedback there as I try to get us posted to Twitter here. Hey, you know, just running on loop. That's it, running on loop. Kind of like how this, I've been the last couple of days just watching basketball. I feel like I'm living in the Truman Show. Not the Truman Show. Is the Truman Show the one where he does the same thing every single day?
Groundhog Day.
I was going to say, that's not the Truman Show. Groundhog Day.
I don't even know what the Truman Show is.
Good movie. It'll make you think, man. It's the one where they're watching you all the time. Your life's a TV show. Yeah, it's definitely not the Truman Show. Groundhog Day. I've watched so much basketball that I feel like I've just been the same lazy SOB for the last, 4 days. It's been awesome. I'm not complaining. And there's been some good basketball games. That's just how I feel. Life on loop. Guys, thanks for hopping in. I know we're a little late. It's Landon's fault, as always. I'm just kidding. Technical difficulties. You know how that goes. But we're here. We're happy to be here. Happy to have another great show. Listen, I'm never going to be happy when Tennessee gets eliminated. Never. But it has been just so like this. I'm going to say this every March. Let's be clear about this. But this is one of the most fun March madnesses that I can remember of recent time. And I'm sure gambling, legal gambling that's easier to do has helped that.
Yeah, I think I was kind of thinking about it today. And it was just like, you know, I'm happy I don't have to see that offensive display anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's kind of crappy to say. You never want your team to lose, like you said, but it's kind of nice that you don't have to just watch that. And yesterday I thought they're going to pull us back in somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
But it just never happened. Maybe that was the plan all along, just to keep us on our edge of our seats thinking, you know, at some point we're going to get back into it. And then it just never happened.
I mean, no, watching Tennessee basketball this year, kind of like the Sunday scaries, like every night before the game, you never knew what was going to happen on that Monday, that day. And you knew you probably weren't going to have a good day. And, it's nice to be over. Someone mentioned Tennessee's the only program stupid enough to lose. I mean, that's not entirely true. There's been at least
– Texas lost.
Well, now there's been what? In the last 4 days, there's been 35 teams lose now, right?
Yeah, quite a bit of teams lost, yeah.
So, I mean, that's not entirely true. that was definitely not a pretty game. It's never what you want to bring in March. But we are going to talk about – Tennessee basketball game. Hey, big shout out to the Lady Vols who won today. Maybe off to a little bit of a slow start against MTSU. MTSU really brought it, but hey, they got out in front. Renia Davis had a double double, I'm pretty sure.
She had a lot.
24 points and 14 rebounds. That is a double double. And she's a guard. So shout out to her. Big game. Lady Vols go to the round of 32 after that performance. Hey, we're also going to talk some baseball. Series win, so close to the series sweep. So close. Would have been fun. We're also going to talk a little bit about football. Always. We say we don't like to be sad, but clearly we do. So we'll talk a little bit about that. It's not too much to be sad about right now. That's the good news. And that hope. Hope's a dangerous thing. And we've got it. We've got hope. That's for sure.
A little bit.
A little bit. Not a lot. Tell us where you're listening from. Comment in here. Let's talk.
Go check out our sponsors, Tennessee Tap House, Hound Dogs, and Blue Water Climate Control. Also, thank you to our network, Volunteer Roadshow. Do a great job of letting us use this platform to talk about Tennessee sports.
Yeah,
the good and the bad. And the ugly.
Hopefully, you're getting away from the bad and the ugly here soon. That's the plan. That's the plan. I'm not saying the plan is going to be executed, that is the plan. Blake Sansbury said he's listening at the chatterbox. I assume that's what he means. So that's awesome. I love that, Blake. I hope you're not lying to me, even though I feel like you are.
Yeah. Send a picture. I don't believe it.
Picker, it didn't happen. What's up, Chris? Good to have you in here. Thanks for hopping in late. I find out Chris has 3 kids now, and I appreciate him always joining us. And now he's even with us when we're running behind. So that's a big shout out to Chris.
He's like, shut up. They're talking.
let's jump right into the basketball game, though, the Friday afternoon. Just, I mean, golly, you want to – the weekend just off to a terrible, terrible start. And you know, I've seen it like – because I think we've even talked about this like before about how I think a lot of just like fans in general we're gonna be upset if Tennessee didn't go to the Final Four or you know, and I'm sure there's a level to it. It's like there's gonna be fans that are mad about you didn't make it to the Final Four. There's gonna be fans that are mad that you didn't make it to the Elite Eight or didn't make it to the Sweet 16 or and so on and so forth. And so I think it's like interesting to like how do you grade success this season? But I don't think there can't be a player on that team, a coach on that staff, and a fan in this fan base that can be pleased with this season.
No, it's a disappointment. It really is.
And I'm not saying. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, just nothing went the way that you thought. Because on paper, this team looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, going into the season, you thought, you know, this is a team that could make it to the Final Four. Right. You got 3 5 stars. You got the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. You got a first-team All-SEC player. I mean, you thought this team was going to be outstanding. And offensively, just couldn't do it. And it was kind of similar to the – yeah. And it was kind of similar to the football program. It was like – the offense was so bad that it made the defense look even worse.
Right. And the as far as like when I say it's a disappointment for basketball, it's not like there weren't good things done this season. Like, yeah, they were. There were some times they played really good basketball. Now, the unfortunate part is it was a lot like my golf game. Couldn't put back-to-back games together. I couldn't put back-to-back shots together yesterday, which, you know, if you played golf, I'm sure you all can guess how well I shot. But, I mean, that was like they play a good game, and it's not like 2 or 3 games, and then, you know, you find a good team that just plays well against you that night. No, it was all on Tennessee on whether they were going to play good or not. It seemed like at least this season. There was nothing truly that dictated how they played other than was it the night they were going to play well or not? Let's find out. Again, there are fans that would be mad if you didn't go to the Final Four. So, like, I was thinking about 17 and 18 and 18, 19. Those seasons were great seasons. One of them, you were number one for 4 weeks. I mean, that you had a great season. Didn't end the way you wanted it to. You lose to Purdue on a heartbreaking shot. A guy shot made seven threes in a game. Like, that's unfortunate. Could you have done things better? Sure. But it's not – that season wasn't a disappointment. That was just unfortunate. It happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you lost, like it was March Madness that like
exactly.
Losing by 14 in the round of 64 is not March Madness. That
to a team that wouldn't have made the tournament had they not won their conference title.
Yeah. And a team that's on paper, you know, has been the entire season one of the worst defensive teams in the country. And you scored 56 points on that defense.
Yeah. So I'm not just out here like, because we've mentioned this. What sucks is for just about every other team in the country outside of one, your season's going to end on a loss. And you can't grade the season based on that play alone. It's got to, you know, you've got to really grade it on the season. And I think if you grade this Tennessee season, it's hard to not grade it as a disappointment.
Yeah. Especially like when you look at the, you know, preseason and the build up to the, or even our non-conference games were like, you know, this team is good because they're knocking on the door for 100 or scoring 100, you know, a lot of those games. And then whatever, I'm trying to think of the game that it was just like, man, I don't know if this team's as good as they think they are or we think they are. And I want to say it was January 19th, I think, Florida. When they were out, Castleton and, you know, a couple other good players, and we just got manhandled.
No, that one definitely was going to make you think more. That one really made it like – I think that was – because there were some games there before Florida where Tennessee didn't play well, didn't shoot the ball well, or, you know, and you were like, oh, man, I don't know about this. And then that one kind of like – I think that one is when doubt truly crept in about this team. And it's not like they didn't play good games after that. They still had plenty of good games after that, but it was every other night or, you know, every two games. And I think that's the bottom line for this team is there was zero consistency for whatever reason. Leadership, lack of a, you know, not even lack of just a leader, lack of just a hooper in the words of Joe Hampton from Last Chance U. There just wasn't a Hooper on that team, man. No, sorry. I think there are some Hoopers on that team. There was no one that wanted to be the Hooper on that team.
Yeah, I think that's I think that goes back to the leadership. Because even if you're a freshman, you can still be a leader.
Right.
I think this team just didn't mesh. And, I think they're being compared to that 2019 team that did mesh and mesh for years. But this team kind of was thrown together and not a, not normal offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And just did not mesh. You didn't have a true point guard. You didn't have much of a post presence. John Fulkerson struggled this entire year. And then, for these games, he's been out. But you still shouldn't lose by 14, even with John Fulkerson out.
Right.
Even if he was a first-team All-SEC player again this year, you still shouldn't lose to 14 to Oregon State.
Right, right.
I mean, no. I was looking at the box score, and I kind of figured this, but, no one had, a good game.
No.
Just saw Jordan James, what pops out to me is he had 13 rebounds, but he's also 2 for 10 from the field. So,
yeah.
I mean, just nobody had a, maybe Jaden Springer.
Well, I mean, what was the number of turnovers in that game? Which I know Oregon State had a lot too.
They had 15, we had 12.
Okay. Wow. That actually does shock me. I knew they had a lot as well, but I still would have assumed Tennessee had more. So that does shock me a little bit. Yeah, for whatever reason, this team didn't mesh. Leadership, I guess. Now, this is kind of Chris asked this question already. Is it leadership from the coaching staff, from Rick Barnes, or is it leadership from the players? Whose fault is it is what Chris asked. Why, I guess. What's the why? And I think it's hard to defend Rick Barnes in terms of any program you coach at or play at. Don't you want the expectations to be incredibly high? Obviously you don't want him to be on the hot seat all the time, but don't you want kind of that pressure? So it's you should kind of invite that a little bit because you want your expectations to be high. I'm not saying Rick Barnes should want to be fired, but,
right.
But I mean, he should understand why fans are upset. Absolutely. And it's hard to defend him because at the end of the day, the goal is to win a championship. The goal is not to just build a great program. Now, winning championships and building great programs should go hand in hand. And building good culture should go hand in hand. But, I mean, if you can't win the first one in the tournament, you're never going to win the second one or the third, fourth. So it's hard to defend it. I am still in the Rick Barnes boat, I would say. And a lot of people are it's been talked about how Rick Barnes' style of basketball can't win games. Did you see freaking Kurtwig today?
No, yeah.
I mean, which I know Loyola Chicago doesn't just do that, but I mean, and yeah,
he's a point center.
But I mean, it's just, I don't know. People are frustrated with Barnes because he's losing to the new style of basketball consistently. Because I mean, Oregon State didn't just go out and run on us. You didn't lose to Alabama or Auburn or, Arkansas, that's not who you lost to, but that frustration's happened because he's consistently lost to LSU, Alabama, and Auburn, the teams that go out and run and look. They're either looking for a layup or a three-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to play this brand of basketball, but he doesn't have the players to do that. He wants to play that bully ball inside, but he doesn't have a post presence, so you can't play that style of basketball if you don't have the players to do it.
Right. And he should have. Hard to defend him here. I can't figure out. We talked about it in football season, especially with how much Jeremy Pruitt mentioned freshmen and how he would mention them in press conference and then replay them. It's like if these guys aren't getting it done, why are you not trying someone else?
Yeah.
And there was some and I'm not just talking about on Friday. Throughout the season, Anisiki had his chances. Kumwa had his chances. I wouldn't say Urosh necessarily had his chances. He did get a lot of playing time Friday, though, for some reason. Oh, not for some reason. Oregon State has bigs that needed to be, you had to try and defend him.
I don't understand that either. I mean, I didn't think he played terrible, but he only played 10 minutes.
Right.
And then their 7-footer went 8 for 8 from the field. So, you know, why did you not have somebody else in there to at least attempt to put a hand in his face?
To defend him, yeah.
I mean, when your tallest guy is 6'6", you're not going to do well.
No. And when Tennessee was successful, too, on Friday, it was because they were getting out in front and running. So, again, like you mentioned, you just didn't have the guys to play the style of basketball he wanted to play. And someone mentioned just now, I don't know if we saw enough from Urosh and Gaines and Kumwal, but that's kind of my point. Why did we never even see Corey Walker on the court?
Yeah, I mean, with, you know, everything else that you put on the floor, you would have liked to seen, you know, somebody get a shot.
Yeah.
Even if they're horrible, I mean, what can it hurt?
Exactly. I mean, because like someone mentioned, Kumwal, Urosh, and Anisiki just weren't getting it done. So what was Corey Walker going to – I don't know. It's hard after the way this season went and it ended the way it ended. And I know, you know, a lot of teams that were expected to play well this season didn't for whatever reason. It has certainly been a weird year with the way they've had to travel, with the way they've had to practice, with the way – like, just, I mean, it's just been a different year. And I'm not excusing Tennessee. You mentioned earlier in the show, they still should have beaten Oregon State. They were just a flat-out better on paper team. You were expected to go in and win those games. But I'm just saying, I mean, it is certainly a weird year. So what contributed to Tennessee's lack of success? That's why I'm saying it's a weird year. I don't know what exactly it was. I can't pinpoint it. Yeah, Rick Barnes gets fault. He's the coach. He's the head coach. Absolutely, he gets fault.
Yeah, and he kind of did it to himself. You know, he did a lot with less, and so when he finally got a lot, then he did less with it. So, you know, he kind of made that expectation for himself and then just couldn't follow through. I mean, he deserves all the criticism he's getting because
– Whoa. No one associated, I think, with college athletics deserves all the criticism they're getting.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I've seen some absurd takes about Rick Barnes, about
he should be fired. but my God, let's. I mean, because next year you're gonna have to rebuild a little bit because losing your probably three of your best players,
right?
In Springer, right. Johnson, and Pons,
right.
And if Fulgerson leaves, you're going to lose four starters.
And I don't necessarily think Fulgerson would leave. But I think with this injury, don't know how significant it is. You know, he had some kind of procedure on his face that, you know, I mean, it could potentially be the end of his basketball career. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Chris mentioned another reason fans are ticked or Barnes toyed with UCLA. Yeah. And understandably so. I mean, I think Tennessee made the right move. I think if I was Rick Barnes, I would have done the same thing. When someone offers you more money, you listen.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, yeah, I agree, Chris. Like, she should expect that a little bit.
UCLA is still in the tournament.
Brutus trying to get on screen. I like it.
Okay.
Big cameraman. He got a bath today. He's just trying to show off for everybody.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fresh coat.
Exactly.
Nice.
But, yeah, I mean, like you said, the criticism's fair.
So, Chris did ask, do you think the bad loss to Oregon State causes Folky, Keon, Springer to return? No. I mean, Fulgerson probably can return just because he can.
I think if it doesn't have to do with his injury, I think Fulgerson will be back.
Yeah, yeah. But Keon and Jaden.
No chance.
See ya.
Not a chance. But one of them is at least going to be a lottery pick. The other one could be a lottery pick. I mean, there's no way. How do you pass that up?
Yeah, and he also asked, what are reasonable expectations for Barnes and team next year? I mean, like, how can you have, like, a true expectation with the amount of talent that you brought in last year and, you know, seeing how it turned out? Even if you do add, you know, you do add Kennedy Chandler, you do add, or you could add Brandon Hunley Hatfield if he reclassifies, but still, like, there's no guarantee with it.
This year will not change my expectations, like, what my expectations would be with the talent on the roster. I'll say that. I'm not ready to say what the expectations are. Because like you said, there could be, you know, be some reclassification. You could get some other guys. You know, we'll see when those guys get in here. Which Kenny Chandler's already signed. You know, you're getting him. But this year is not gonna change my expectations as far. And again, like if we lower the expectation for Rick Barnes, then yes, you should fire him. If you have a sitting coach and you're like, well, let's move the bar down for him. That's it. It's time to go. Like part ways, get it done. Mm-hmm. So that will not. My expectation won't change. And no one should. Rick Barnes shouldn't. The team shouldn't.
So you don't think he's reached his ceiling?
I mean, has he? Are you asking if he's won his best game? Is that what you mean? Like, is he?
Do you see us? I don't know.
Because his ceiling, like, I think you've seen.
2019 was probably his ceiling. And I'm not saying that. Oh. I'm not saying that we should just make the Sweet 16 and be happy about that. I'm just saying that, like, that's a reasonable expectation to put on a team with this kind of talent.
Well, my question is, so he's made it to a Final Four. So are you asking me if the biggest game he's ever going to win is an Elite Eight? Or, like, have you just. Because you talk to anyone, the Jay Billises, the Mark, like the national people who don't even watch Tennessee much, like who've maybe seen two Tennessee games this year, maybe. And they'll say, I mean, Tennessee's could be a Final Four team if they figure it out, like talent wise, could be a Final Four team.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it's not, I'm not saying it as a Tennessee fan. Like, obviously, the talent was there to go to a Final Four. To go to an Elite Eight, things have to work out. I don't see now Rick Barnes necessarily going magically turning into a better basketball coach. Now, I mean, look at his win percentage. Like, I mean, he's a really, really good basketball coach. Now, obviously, I mean, the jokes can fly. He's not been phenomenal in March. Like, that's just not who he's been. Could Rick Barnes win a Final Four game? The evidence points to no, but I want to say yeah. If he keeps getting the talent, I mean, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine saying no with the talent that you potentially could have on next year's team.
Yeah, if you're able to recruit like that, yeah, maybe it doesn't work all the time. Look at Kentucky this past year, but you know, look at the talent that they brought in with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. You know, Anthony Davis. You know, those guys won national titles.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely not going to move the bar down. And I mean, yeah, the expectation for talent like that, you're like, I want a national championship. So, I mean, that's obviously like the – and it's a little unrealistic. Like, it's not your, like, end-all, be-all. But, I mean, you want to do it. And right. I don't know. There's a lot of talent. Rick Barnes has won a lot of basketball games. He's won a lot of big basketball games. He's lost a lot of big basketball games. But isn't that kind of like the nature of the business? Like, I mean, Pat Summitt didn't even win them all. Gino Auriemma doesn't win them all. I know I just pointed to two women's basketball, but I'm sure there'll be some troll that'll be like, Pat's not even the best women's basketball coach, so I had to throw out Gino. unfortunately. But I mean, Coach K, like, is he done? He didn't even make the tournament this year.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get an asterisk because they said that.
Yeah.
They actually won their final game. They're one of those teams that did.
I don't know if we got to talk about this conspiracy theory, so let's do it real quick. Duke won their first ACC game and then popped a COVID test so that they could say, we won, we could have won the whole thing. Because if they hadn't played that first one, they never could have been like, well, we would have won in the ACC tournament. Yeah. They did win one in the ACC, popped the COVID test so they could claim that. Guarantee it. You can rot it down.
Yeah, Kentucky missed a golden opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to talk about Tennessee basketball anymore, but I do want to talk about March Madness. I do also want to state how freaking stupid is it that you had four replacement teams and DCU cancels and you just give someone a win?
Yeah, I don't understand, like, what does that even look like? Do they just have them, like, at some standby hotel and just be like, hey, just wait by the phone if we call you?
So apparently Chris told me this. Yeah, I know, Chris. I got you, Chris. I got you, baby. I got you. So Chris tweeted back at me last night when I was very confused or whenever that game was. Like I said, I'm running on loop. They had until Tuesday, I believe the teams did,
okay,
to like test or whatever it was, like whatever the rules were, to withdraw. And then it would be, I don't even know who, I only know Louisville was one of the teams. I don't know who the other team was. The other three teams were, but if they didn't weren't called up on Tuesday, I guess, then they were gone. Like they weren't needed. I just don't get, like, I get in the Elite Eight, like if an Elite Eight game gets canceled, I get you can't just throw a team in there that didn't deserve to be in the tournament. But I don't understand how you don't play a first round game when you had teams on standby. I don't get that. And then why did you wait until the day of to cancel a game? All the testing you have in place, all the protocol you have in place, you don't find out to the day of?
Yeah, that's what I thought was very strange. I don't know, the NCAA, I mean, you saw what the women's weight room. Oh my God. What? Did they just, they're like, oh yeah, they'll never know.
How many people did that have to go through to,
oh like, yeah, they're
to
like, get oh, yeah,
to that point? Like, they had to be like, they had to order those weights, Landon. Those weights had to be ordered. Or maybe they just rolled them from the hotel. Hotels like that even have weight rooms? I don't know. Fitness facilities? But like they
They just took them from the local Planet Fitnesses. And
they had to get that rack of dumbbells and the yoga mats and put them in that big room, that ballroom, and be like, that looks good to me. This should be good enough.
Yeah.
And but before you even got to that point, someone had to say, yeah, we're going to make this the weight room. What are we going to put in the weight room? Dumbbells. Perfect. Order the dumbbells. Or like, I mean, what would you say? 40 people probably all told involved in to get to one rack of dumbbells and a yoga mat.
Oh, yeah.
Like the people who had to logistically get to the ballroom, or say what we wanted in the room, order it, put it in there, sanitize, like see that and be like, guys, this doesn't seem right. Wait, this is a weight room for Division I athletes?
Yeah, and it's probably just like, it's probably the same people who did it for the men.
Well, no, they're in San Antonio, to be fair. But yes, at the beginning stages in terms of
like ordering and stuff like that.
Logistically, yes. Yes.
They're like, yeah, the men need all this and the women's need dumbbells and yoga mats.
They're idiots, man. Idiots. I just
I hope a lot of people are fired over that, because that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Incredibly stupid. It's incredibly stupid. Mind-boggling. Yeah, that was Chris said, well, once Tuesday came, the bracket was locked and daily testing commenced. Yeah, I understand. I just don't understand how then VCU got kicked out. And also, Virginia didn't arrive into the bubble until Friday, because they got something about the ACC tournament. When they popped their positive, I don't know. Does anybody lift weights in the tournament? Tennessee did. Yeah, I mean, they're all going to have. Well, I mean, not between the round of 64 and round of 32. Nobody's going to lift, because that's such a short turnaround. They might. And it's going to be like recovery lifting.
You might get a little pump before.
Yeah, I mean, they are. It's going to be some recovery stuff in the weight room. I'll say this. The men's weight room is probably overdone. Like, no one's going to go through any lifts like that.
Oh, yeah. They're doing
like, they had a full weight room.
Yeah. They're doing some deadlifts before. I don't know. So, it's just completely
I lost the comment. Someone said they were continually being tested through Wednesday, so the test came back Saturday. But then you should have had the teams on standby until Saturday. If you're not going to get the test back until Saturday,
right? Yeah, what's the point?
Again, if this was in the round of third, if this was in the Elite Eight, I'm not arguing the same thing, because I get it. You can't just throw somebody in there. This is the first round game that got canceled, and you had teams. It's just dumb. I get logistically what's happening, but it's dumb. Very dumb. Okay, Mark. Okay, I want to ask you this: what has been your favorite upset? Because there's been a lot. Not a lot. Has there been a lot? There's been
a little bit.
Okay. Favorite upset and or favorite game?
I'll go to Syracuse was one that I picked to move from the first round. I didn't pick them to beat West Virginia, but I did pick them to win the first game. So I like that. And I also picked Ohio over Virginia, because yes. I hate I hate how Virginia plays basketball. It's similar to how Tennessee plays basketball this season. And I just hate no offense and all defense. I hate it. So that's what you get.
Fair. It's just because they suck at offense this year.
Right. Well, I mean, they do play like that slow pace and, you know, they just half court. They don't try to get it and run. You know, I like to go, baby. I like points.
Yeah.
I don't like a game to end 55-54. That's just boring to me.
I got to talk trash to you right now because, I mean, you know, soccer gets the no points all the time. I mean, we're talking to a baseball guy who games in 3-2, 5-0 often. It's a hot take come from you.
But still, like, in baseball, like, then a pitcher, if it ends like that, pitchers are dominating. Somebody is dominating to make it like that. That's just 55-54. That's just slow ass, terrible basketball, and no one wants to watch.
I can't argue with you. I just had to throw that baseball there. And that doesn't always, you know, you get it. You get it. I just had to talk a little trash.
Like the Vanderbilt pitcher this weekend threw a no hitter, 16 strikeouts. That's electric. They won 5-0.
Then his coach mentioned how they didn't even like strikeouts. So, was, you know, you got to account for that.
He didn't like strikeouts?
Well, I mean, he just brought up after the game how, in terms of your pit, you'd rather just, you know, a guy ground out to first. Like, if I could throw three pitches in an inning and get out of there, that's way better than throwing three strikeouts. Oh, yeah. I understand what he's saying. I was just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Since he'd have three strikeouts. Or,
I'm sure you would. Corbin, I'm sure you would love that three pitch inning, you ass.
Okay, so your favorite upset was Ohio, Virginia.
Yeah.
Your favorite game was
the Preston kid from Ohio. That dude's legit.
And your favorite game was Syracuse yesterday or today? Or yesterday. Saturday or
Friday.
Friday or Sunday. Good God. I can't speak.
Friday. And Buddy Boeheim.
Buddy Boeheim. Let the dog eat.
I mean, that dude was ranked like 500th in the country, and then he just basically put a Syracuse on his back.
You love to see it.
Love it.
Love to see it.
Back to Tennessee a little bit. They need a point guard. I mean, Rick Barnes gets all this love for being a point guard guru. How do you not recruit one?
Well, at least you're getting one, and you're getting like a true guy who's going to want the ball and have the ball in his hands a lot in Kennedy Chandler next year. That's the good news.
Yeah, I think when you're down on the shot clock, you want a guy that's able to just go to the rim at will.
Yeah,
for sure. You had it with Kevin Punter. You had it with Jordan Bone. And, you know, since that, you just really haven't had it. So, I think that's going to be huge next year. You got some shooters with Viscovi and Victor Bailey if they can just get some kind of consistency. Mm-hmm. But I think a true point guard will really help this team. I think Keon and Jaden were basically the same player in a lot of ways. And I don't know if that really meshed. I don't want to take anything away from them because they're great. You know, they came in and did what they should have done. But to have your leading scorer only score 12 points a game is pretty heartbreaking.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely a true point guard. I think you get that with I think you get that with Kennedy Chandler. Aaron Short mentioned on YouTube, now that Tennessee's out, you got to pull for an SEC team. I'm sorry, Aaron. No, I will never pull. I'll never cheer for another SEC team. And I'll never, definitely not cheer for Bama. I'll tell you that. And then also, I'm not cheering for Arkansas because I'd much rather them lose than win. But I think Arkansas could be see a very, very similar run to Auburn in 19. God, dude, with last year's tournament getting canceled, I always forget. But I like Eric Musselman. I do like him. I'll say that. And I just think their team is – I mean, they were my favorite to win the SEC championship, and obviously they got eliminated earlier. So I could be completely wrong on this, but I do like Arkansas a lot.
Yeah, I actually picked them to lose today. But, hey, I picked Rutgers to win.
Nice.
So that's good.
It is looking good.
If y'all put LSU – y'all should have picked LSU. That was the lock of the day yesterday, LSU money line.
LSU money line,
yeah,
over St. Bonaventure.
Yep.
So you didn't ask me my favorite upset, but that's okay. Mine was Oral Roberts, just because I called it. And I called it because I heard Mark Titus, who, you know, Ohio State, he said the same thing I would say about a Tennessee game. So I was immediately like, well, that's a loss. So taking all, and they have a guy who can score 30 on any given night. That spells trouble in March. When a guy can do that, favorite game. That one's, I don't know about you. I've watched it. Like, there's been a ton of good basketball. Ton of good. See, the Syracuse West Virginia game was a lot of fun just right before we started this show. The Illinois Loyola Chicago game earlier today was today. Again, I'm in a loop. The Oklahoma State Liberty game on Friday, I was sad. So that kind of brought me back a little bit. Arkansas Colgate, they were early on Friday. That was a good game. As much as I hate to say it, at least the Florida Virginia Tech game was good. Like, there's just been a lot of good basketball games. There's been a lot of good. I think my favorite to watch so far has been that Illinois Loyola Chicago game today. Loyola Chicago, dude, they are. I hate that I have not watched them play once this season because now I feel incredibly stupid for picking Georgia Tech.
For picking Georgia? Oh yeah, I mean, like, dude, but.
I know.
I feel like it's different with Moses Wright.
I don't disagree, but even after like watching him today against Illinois, if I watch, and I don't, maybe that's the best game they played all season. I have not watched another game. I've watched them twice now: Georgia Tech, Loyola Chicago, or Illinois.
Watching them, how did they lose any games in conference play?
Right, and that's what, like, maybe I'm just watching their best games. But if they played anything like they did against Georgia Tech or Illinois, I would have never picked against them.
Ever. Yes, she's Queen of March.
Dude, I know it's hot. I hate her.
Yeah.
It's not her fault, but I hate her.
Yeah, she sucks.
A lot of people mention that it's more fun against Tennessee or when it's not against Tennessee. Yes, 100%. It's miserable when that happened to us in 18. But I also
– I hate every time they score, like they show a picture of her and she just – she's not really doing it. She's just sitting there. So I don't understand why.
I don't have fun. Well, she's 101, Landon. She can't really do much more besides sit there.
I know. She traveled to Indianapolis.
That's the extent of what she can do at her age. Like that. Actually, that is probably. I mean, not most.
So she's like a witch or something, right?
Whoa, dude. She's Sister Jean.
She's
the opposite of a witch.
But, like,
North Texas just had an incredible alley-oop. Like, he grabbed it off the top of the backboard.
I mean, I've never even heard of Loyola Chicago until, like, 3 years ago.
Now you know.
Yeah, now I know.
Now you know. All right, anything else for March Madness, Tennessee? North Texas and Villanova are playing right now on my TV. What do you watch anything? You got anything going?
I'm just keeping up with the scores.
Yeah. I
feel like I jinx everything when I watch it. So
I picked West Virginia to win against Syracuse earlier today, but I'm kind of rooting for Syracuse. I won't lie.
Buddy Boeheim.
I don't know. Someone mentioned, you know, like their Carmelo run, and I'm like, you know, that's a good point. Like, you know, what seed were they when that happened? Weren't they a high seed?
I don't know. I feel like they were good with Melo. Were they not?
Yeah, but I don't think they were. I'm looking it up right now. Hold on a second. Let's see. Okay, but
what about Texas losing?
I love that. And, dude, did you see Abilene Christian's celebration?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like, I hope if Tennessee ever has a bit, you know, because that's – what would that be? Oh, they were number one that year. Why did I think they were a low seed? Or did they finish the year?
I don't know.
Because they won the national championship that year. But
yeah, I thought they were pretty good.
But for some reason, I thought they were – they were a three seed. See, I thought they were like a six or seven for some reason. Because everybody talks about that run like it was not entirely expected. So I couldn't remember. They went 30-5. Who was – there's no way they were a three seed. That's got to be wrong. They went 30-5 and they were a three seed?
I don't know. That would
can't be right. Oh, they were in the Big East. They were in the Big East then. That's probably why.
Oh, okay.
I just realized they were in the Big East. I don't remember when they went to the ACC. But also the Big East was a really good basketball conference, but still.
Yeah, like that. That was when Georgetown was good and UConn.
UConn. I mean, the Big East was very good. Yeah. Now I've lost my train of thought because I was reading about the Carmelo years. I'm excited for – I mean, I'm just happy it's been a good March. It makes it losing in football sucks because nothing can make me happy. Like, I'm not going to watch college football playoff and be like, oh, at least I got to see a good college football playoff. No. Like, I'm never going to be happy until Tennessee's good again.
I'm just tired of losing freaking money on this crap. Like, it's so unpredictable. Yeah. I mean, that's what makes it so fun. Great. No, but I need to stop betting on it. I need to just enjoy it and stop losing money on it.
Well, that's why I didn't bet Friday or Saturday. I think I bet a little bit at the end of Saturday. When did I talk to you? I bet a little bit at the end of Friday too. I just threw some live game bets in there. But I kind of wanted to see, you know, how everything played out. And I obviously didn't learn anything because I'm still losing money. So
we need to just bet on like one game, just one heater.
Okay. You want to throw, you think Rutgers is plus money right now? They're only up by 5 with 3 minutes left. Like, you might be able to get them good money right now. We can check that real quick. Let's talk a little bit about football, though.
It's minus 240 right now.
For Rutgers to win?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would have thought that much time left, only up by 5 now. Yeah.
I'll throw some money on it.
I've already got plus 7.5. So, and that should, God, I hope so, should be a lock. Let's talk a little bit about football, and then we're going to talk some baseballs too. Like we said, we're not going to be depressed the whole time. We're going to talk about a series win to open up SEC play in Georgia. Let's do football real quick. Talking about some players, most important, most valuable, best, however you want to split it. I don't know how you wanted to split it, but we can kind of see how we went with this. Cause I mean, with basketball this season, I think it's definitely different in basketball than it is football as far as that goes. But your best player is not always your most valuable. Not always your most important. I don't know exactly how you went about ranking these guys and where
I kind of went most important to like have a good spring.
Okay.
If you do it a different way. Okay.
And kind of not necessarily just important for them. I think very, very important for like Josh Heupel. Like, I think he's got to find ways to get these guys to have a good spring.
I agree. So I'll go first if you want me to.
Good. We're doing offense, defense. We're just going all around.
I'm just going down. The first three guys I have are veteran guys. The last two are sophomores.
Okay.
So the first one I have is Roman Harrison. I think to have a edge rusher you have to have it in today's defense. You have to have a good edge rusher. It's extremely important for your defense. And Tennessee doesn't really have a ton of experience. Roman Harrison just had 2 sacks last year. I think he had 7 tackles, three tackles for loss. And, that was ranked 3rd on the team. So you're going to need some more production from him. But I think he's going to have to, he's going to have to be a starter. And I think he was a raw talent when he came in here. I think he played defensive tackle, or nose guard when he was in high school at Bainbridge, I think, in Georgia. But I think he's, returning, being an edge rusher, I think he has the most upside. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's probably my most important to have a really good spring.
Okay. Yeah, I like that to start. As far as edge rushers goes. So I'll kind of turn that over to I'll go a little bit different direction on the defensive side of the ball. And that's Alante Taylor, a guy that's already been – I mean, the last 2 years or last year, I guess, and then this year has been pegged as a leader on this team. So that's – the leadership aspect's obviously going to be really, really important for – the defense for this team that it's clear that there were some, at least from Josh Heupel's perspective and the staff's perspective, some leadership issues and some team just, I guess, cohesiveness issues, because it's clear they focused on that in the winter. So it's going to be important to have a leader, but then you're going to need someone to step up in that secondary. And I know it's hard to be, I think when you talk about trying to be super impactful. It's much easier to be impactful in my eyes from the safety position because you can do a number of things, or it's easier to do a number of things as far as run support, as well as, you know, help, you know, being really, really effective in the pass game. You know, defensive backs, you can't always, or excuse me, corners, you can't always equate what they do in the run game and support. A lot of times they're just holding the edge. They're not making the tackles. They're not. So maybe statistically it's hard to equate that all the time, but I think it's going to be really, really important to have Alante Taylor have a really good year. And I think he got better in run support, but you know, there's still some, maybe the game hadn't slowed down for him yet in the pass game. So it's definitely, I mean, there's still improvement in both areas, but I think they're going to need somebody in the secondary to not only be really, really good, but also be a leader. And I think he's already that. At least the team seems to agree that he's already that. So it's going to be important for him to have a big spring going into his senior year.
Yeah, absolutely. My next one is Darnell Wright. And that's a guy who has a ton of experience, ton of SEC experience already in his 2 years. He is one of the few returners on that offensive line. I think this new offense isn't really maybe suited for him right now. But that's why I think it's important for him to have a really good spring, get conditioned, be able to be out on the field, you know, don't go one drive and, you know, have to tap out.
Right.
And I want to see him in the, you know, taking the majority of the snaps. And, you know, I think he's going to have to maybe lose a little bit of weight, or if not, he's going to have to be extremely conditioned. And, you know, I think that's important for this offense to have some of those returning offensive linemen like Cade Mays and Darnell Wright. I just think he's going to need a little bit more, maybe get a little bit more in shape this spring to be prepared to run this offense.
Yeah, no, you mentioned being in shape. Definitely a lot of offensive linemen that are been maybe recruited for a different pace of play. We'll definitely have to see them change their body types, change their styles as well. I'll stay on the defensive side of the ball, and I'll go with another pass rusher that I think, you know, he was young, saw, you know, some playing time, and it's going to be nice if they can get a big, big boost from him, and that's Tyler Barron. I think he's got the body for it, just the natural ability. Can Tim Banks and Ronnie Garner get more out of him? That's going to be big for this staff. You mentioned an edge rusher. I would peg Roman Harrison as my, you know, probably going to be my number one this year. But that, you know, I think Tyler Barron could be effective as well, and they're going to need to find ways to use him.
Yeah. And he's been kind of pegged as a leader this offseason, so I'm interested to kind of see his role in that as well. Jeremy Banks is my next one. You know, I think he loses a ton. And Crouch looks like he's gone. Henry Toto'o doesn't look like he's going to return. So it's, you know, the Jeremy Banks show at linebacker. And I think it's kind of his job to lose. And but I think he's going to end up at linebacker. I don't think he's going to switch over to running back again. I think that's probably where he's best suited as linebacker, especially with the people you have returning. So, yeah, Jeremy Banks will be my next one to have a really good spring. And, you know, hopefully he's able to take on that leadership role as well.
Right. Let me flip to the offensive side of the ball. I like Jeremy Banks too, just because there's a lot of questions at linebacker, and he's probably some of the most experience you'd have that's definitely returning. So I do like Jeremy Banks. But I'll go to the offensive side of the ball, and I'll double up here because I'm going to be honest, I don't know which name to use. I'll say that. But I do know that this is going to be a big position you're going to need to get a lot about in the spring, and that's running back. We talk about that there's talent there. There's talent all over the offensive side of the ball. But I really don't know what name to go with. I've got the two I'm going to throw out there that you need something from this spring is Jabari Smalls and Tyon Evans. With Heupel's offense, I think Tyon Evans will be fine. Jabari Small, could that change, you know, how he's going to have to play? I don't know. But I think Jabari Small is probably – does he have the most experience of any running back left? Is that right? That's what I was thinking. Without any research, that's what I was thinking. And then obviously Tyon Evans being the number one JUCO back coming in. I think you've got to find a way to get one of those guys ready, losing your not only your number one production, but also your number two with Ty Chandler and Eric Gray both leaving this offseason. It's going to be that's a position I think you have talent at, but you're going to have to find production. Mm-hmm. Chris said he missed the original question. We're talking about important players on this Tennessee football team that the staff's going to need to see drastic improvement or find ways to use them this spring.
Right. My next one is going to be Amari Thomas on the defensive line. I just think he flashed a lot last year. I want to see, you know, a regular offseason, and hopefully Tim Banks and, you know, Rodney Garner is able to get the most out of him. And because I think he's a different – he has a chance to be the most talented defensive lineman I think we have. You know, on paper he probably is, but, you know, you want to see that production, want to see a full off season as well. So, yeah, Amari Thomas will be my next one.
Okay. I've got one more, and again, kind of going position-based. I think there's a lot of options, and that's quarterback. After this offseason, or excuse me, this previous season, there's not a quarterback on the roster. I can tell you confidently, like, hey, come in here, like Josh Heupel, that needs to be his guy. Figure out how to make it work for him and go. I thought Harrison Bailey played good at times, you know, but I couldn't confidently say he's the quarterback of the future. I couldn't. You know, I think with Caden Salter coming in, obviously a ton of talent, and then Hendon Hooker coming in, you know, obviously a guy with Division I. Experience at the ACC. Again, a lot of talent, but I can't confidently say he's your guy this year. So mm-hmm. You got to find that leader, find that quarterback this offseason, whoever it is, and find a way to make it work. I don't know which one, but I do feel like you have several good options. I'll say that. So that is kind of, I guess, like the silver lining of maybe not knowing. And then my last ones, I'll mention it real quick because Chris said D. Beckwith, I assume, about running backs. I want to see if D. Beckwith maybe finds a way back at tight end. In this offense where tight ends are not going to block a ton, mm-hmm. You're just maybe a hidden wide receiver, if you will.
Yeah, play mismatch.
Exactly.
My next one is Danico Slaughter. He's a guy that got the first start against South Carolina, and then you didn't really see him the rest of the year. Willie Martinez is familiar because he recruited Danico Slaughter at UCF. And so I'm interested to see kind of where his development's at. You know, he's a guy that loves to hit. You've seen that in his high school highlight tape. So I'm interested to see kind of where he's at as well. And, you know, I think the defensive back room is kind of wide open. You know, there was no one, you know, last season besides maybe Bryce Thompson that I was like, yeah, their spot is probably safe. And yeah. He's, you know, moving on to the draft. So I don't think anybody's safe in that defensive backfield.
Rutgers just lost. Well, it's not over yet, but they lost. That was a terrible offense possession. Dude turned the ball over in the final 15 seconds and didn't even run the guy down. That was pretty embarrassing. I won't lie. That was pretty embarrassing. They're going to cover, though. That's the good news. They're going to cover. So
I just threw $5 on it to win some money.
I'm sorry. I hate that. I hate that. Do you have any more guys you want to talk about this Tennessee spring roster?
No, I'm so done with this. Oh my God.
Any guys coming in that, that you'd, dang, I didn't even realize I had Rutgers Lennon in my bracket too. I just realized, like, I just saw that. Golly, what a terrible offense, like what a terrible turnover.
How do you lose that game?
Oh, that was a terrible offensive possession, too. Golly, Rutgers. Should have hired Greg Schiano. If Tennessee had hired Greg Schiano.
I mean, they were up.
But instead, they hired Jeremy Pruitt.
They had 58 points with 4:11 left and and scored one basket in 4 minutes.
Yikes. What a way to lose it.
Gosh, Schiano. My God, what a moron. I'm a moron for picking them. Jesus.
God, April 24th, spring game. Sports. It's coming up, dude. Hey, it's almost April.
No, I'm done. I hate sports so much. I hate them. I freaking hate them.
Well, let's get excited then. Let's go to baseballs. Let's talk about some good stuff.
Baseballs, yes. Please.
You good? I just lost you. I don't know if you got unplugged on me or what. Maybe they can hear you. I can't hear you, though. You there? I don't know what happened. Maybe it's me. Not sure. I'll try to run it. Maybe you talk at the same time. Oh, maybe. I got you now. Oh, no. I could hear something, though. The mic come unplugged. Landon's got the victory hat on, so we're good. That's the good news. Let's see if we can get him back in here. Maybe check your settings there. Oh. Talk now, Landon. I might hear you.
Now?
Yep. Look at him. Awesome. Victory hat on. Victory hat on. Vols got the series win in Athens this weekend, Friday night. I'll run through the scores real quick. I know you want to talk about games individually here. We'll talk about real quick. Georgia on Friday won 11-6, got the bats going. Saturday, tough walk off loss. Excuse me, Georgia with the walk off win, 4-5 there. And then today, good pitching, good outing from Blade Tidwell. Vols win 4-1 to get the series win.
Yeah, just a huge series win. It's their first SEC series win since 2019. And I think the first opening SEC series win since 2014.
Did you just cherry pick that?
Wait, what?
They didn't play an SEC series in 2020.
I know.
It's like I was listening to Blake Griffin. And he, you know, everyone says he hadn't dunked in like 400 days, but he only played 19 games in 2020. So,
yeah, I mean, you got to throw it out there. It's been a while. But yeah, they had a really good series. Had a missed opportunity on Saturday to kind of finish that sweep. You know, had two chances to get two quick outs in the bottom of the ninth. Weren't able to do that. End up giving up a walk-off single to score two runs. But Jake Rucker had himself a heck of a series. Opened the Friday day up Liam Spence actually opened the night with a home run to lead off the game. And he was 6-for-14 in the series with 4 RBIs. All 4 of those were in Friday night's game. Jake Rucker had 5 RBIs on Friday night, including a grand slam. And he also had a 2-run shot on Saturday. And then just had some good, like you mentioned, good pitching performances. Chad mm-hmm. Dallas pitched well on Friday. Will Heflin pitched, I think, 3 1/3 inning, and he pitched pretty well. Blake Tidwell shoved it today, and I think he had 6 strikeouts and 7 innings, only giving up 4 hits. So, yeah, he just pretty much dominated. I mean, I think he's going to be the real deal because
right.
He's blowing fastballs by people going 97 miles an hour. He's got breaking balls that are making hitters look foolish. So they just got a good kind of group in that pitching staff. I'm interested to see kind of how, and I mentioned this on our new show that we talk about strictly just Tennessee baseball on the bat flip. And, you know, I'm interested to see kind of where the roles are right now because, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the non-conference is to kind of set yourself up, see what you got for right. conference play. And so it looks like Sean Hundley, Kirby Cannell, Redmond Walsh, those are going to be your guys in the pen. And it looks like your starters are, for now, are going to be Heflin, Tidwell, and Dallas. You know, who knows when they get Jackson Leith, Jason Racker's back. McLaughlin has pitched well at times. Connor Housley has also pitched well. So they have a ton of options in that pitching rotation. But got a good weekend under their belt this weekend. Got the bats going. I think one thing that I would just like kind of nitpicking, you won the series in conference play, so I'm not going to dwell on it a ton. But, you know, when the bases are loaded, you got – 2 guys on, you got to find a way to get runners in. I feel like there's too many guys left on bases at times,
right.
and you know that could end up costing you games, and it did on Saturday.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, and you're talking about the game on Saturday. Definitely got to figure out a way to get that out. I'd say one really, really positive, and maybe it's still too early to tell. It's your first SEC series, and you know, I know you've gotten a couple of other series out of the way, but you know, maybe handled a little bit different. But did you find your Sunday starter? Like for sure, because I know it maybe wasn't 100% sure yet. Patience, maybe.
I don't know how they're doing it. Like, because Tidwell pitched today. I mean, he's obviously going to be a starter, so I don't know if they're going to pitch him on Saturday or Sunday. you know, maybe they just try to do it matchup wise to see, try to get the best matchup in there. Mm-hmm. But I think Will Heflin has pitched, you know, he's actually kind of surprised me. He's actually pitched pretty well. And it looks like they're going to just use guys, you know, for that Saturday or Sunday game, they're just going to use a couple guys to get them through it. And, you know, with your starters, you just want to have them to give you a chance to win it at the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Will Heflin and Mark McLaughlin did that. You know, Tennessee was just not able to get enough runs that day.
Right. Right.
So they host Eastern Kentucky on Tuesday. I think that's at 6:30. And then face number 19 LSU this weekend at home. It's going to be nice.
Yeah, that's going to be that's an exciting series.
Because you haven't had a home series since 2019 as well.
Right. a home SEC series. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't try to pick it too much. Yeah. No, that is going to be, I mean, you bring in a really, really talented LSU team. So that's going to be a lot of, I mean, that's going to be a fun game. You know, I expect the Legends of Lindsay to have a big outing next week. For all weekend, I expect it.
Yeah, pack the porch.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's going to be nice. You know, it seems like every time Tennessee plays at home, it's like cold or rainy. So
I haven't checked the weather. Let's see. I mean, it is Knoxville, so that weather could change at any moment. But it looks like it could be a good weekend on Rocky Top.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. To be determined.
I'm going to get into our segments.
Yeah, let's jump into them. Most important of the week, what you got?
Most important, I'm going to go Kelly Harper, getting the win today.
Okay.
But also being leading four teams to the NCAA tournament. It's got to be a world record, right?
It is a world record. You're absolutely right. First women's coach, I believe. I don't know if it's first coach overall to lead four different teams to the NCAA tournament.
And I feel like she's kind of young, right? Like she isn't.
I don't know like where she would rank as far as like median age of coaches, but I mean, yeah, I would say she's on the younger side.
Yeah. That I watch my words, I guess. But she seems like a younger, kind of more energetic coach. Definitely this is her dream job.
I hope she works out. Like, I mean, obviously to say, hope she wins like Pat Summitt, that's an absurd expectation to put on somebody. But I hope she does obviously really well at Tennessee. And I hope she wins games because I love that her personality. It's very clear that her coaching was molded by Pat Summitt because she has the exact same mannerisms. She's got a really, really good Pat stare down on her. I'm not going to put it Pat Summitt level because, I mean, that's just tough for anybody to do. But she's got a really good Pat Summitt stare down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. It's funny
to see.
Makes
you nervous?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm rooting for her to do well. My first one is I've got a couple here. You mentioned Abilene Christian. That was – first off, it cracks me up because, you know, everyone's like Texas made the right – about Rick Barnes. It's just like the situation going on in Tennessee. It's like it's tough to win in March, and Texas hadn't won anything significant in, since Rick Barnes has been gone anyways. So, I don't know. It's just all funny. But Abilene Christian, did they end up tearing down the goalpost? Because it looks like they were going to try to.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see that celebration?
Mm-mm.
So their students watched the game in their football stadium, or maybe in a high school football stadium because it wasn't big. But like it might have been an Allen stadium. I don't know where Abilene Christian is, full disclosure. But yeah, no, it was electric. They were on, I guess it was on the Jumbotron, and they were guys on the field goal post, clearly maybe with the thought of bringing it down. But electric celebration. Electric. That's why we love March.
It's like west of Dallas and Fort Worth.
Okay. I don't know where Allen's at, so that doesn't do anything for me.
Where Allen? Is that where they're
high
at?
High school? I have no idea. I was just making the joke. Allen's football stadium is probably bigger than Abilene Christian's. That's all I'm saying.
It probably is.
Hey, someone equated it, I don't know who it was on Twitter, to Tennessee losing to Johnson. Johnson won the National – Christian College Division II National Championship. So shout out to Johnson University. They're now the Royals, but
mouthful.
Yeah, they're now the Royals, but I'm a big preacher guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the Johnson University Preachers. I don't think they ever should have changed their mascot personally. So
Yeah, be the preachers. Roll with it.
Preachers and preachettes.
Yeah, love it. My next one is it's Tennessee. I'm throwing shade. I got
to. Wait. Most important or fail?
Fail.
Oh, we're jumping to fails?
I don't have any more most important.
Okay. Let me get this one. Okay, Abilene, going back to Abilene Christian real quick. Paul Heupler. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but I think it's how you got to pronounce it from now on. Minutes played, zero. Bench hype, infinity. Did you see him on the bench?
He was electric, yes.
I don't know if Heupler is how you say his last name, but I think he gets the term hype. I think you got to. He's a hype man. All-time hype man.
If there's a like tournament like best teammate team, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got you, yeah.
Like, he's got to be on there. Urosh has to be on there.
Yeah, I agree. We should do that. We should make a best team, best all tournament team. All tournament team?
All tournament best teammate team.
All tournament teammate team. All tournament teammate team. So, just the best teammate. Preferably a guy that doesn't play at all. That makes it better for me. But Urosh gets a pass because he just started playing in the tournament. Rick Barnes tried to disqualify him from that. It's disrespectful, Rick. I've got one more. Iowa wrestler. Oh, God, what's his name? Spencer Lee. Spencer Lee. Won a national championship with zero ACLs, which is pretty impressive because a lot of people have never won a national championship with two ACLs. Do we have more than two? I think just two. I don't know anything about ACLs other than people tear them. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're in the knee. That's where it is. Seems like everybody has a wound from when they get surgery done.
Yeah, anytime they're holding their knee, it's like ACL gone.
Yeah, that was it. That's all. His ACL is no longer there.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like they disappear. People are like, yeah, his ACL is gone. I'm like, is that how that works? Just leaves your body?
Yeah, I feel like it tears. It should still be there. Yeah, he's like, I don't have any ACLs. I'm like, did you get them removed?
No ACLs. Because he didn't want to tear it, so he just took it out. Addressing a problem before it comes. But, dude, I've never torn ACL. I mean, obviously, because I just made the joke about it, I don't know where it's at. I've never torn my ACL. I've been thankful enough to never have, like, through all of my, like, sports playing career, and I didn't have a long career or anything, but I did play in sports. Thankfully, never any serious injuries. But, I mean, like, when I've had, like, sprained ankles, I don't want to play. I can't imagine, like, pretty much not having a knee.
Do you think he was just that confident? He's like, I'll tear these bad boys and still win.
Yeah, I mean, well, what did he say? He was like, excuses are for wusses.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't tell anybody. His excuses are for wusses.
I do love that, though. I mean, because if you tell somebody, it just sounds like you're complaining. So, I like it. I like the approach to it. I like that he did win. Also, here's the thing, though, is if you lose, you can't then – retroactively tell people you tore your ACL. You only get to say that on the winner's podium.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, you can't use it as an excuse because they're for wusses.
Exactly. Exactly. Excuses are for wusses. David Shank said, wrestlers are the toughest humans on the planet. I'm going to be honest. That's the only wrestler I've like really – well, I've seen that dude with one leg. But hot take, the dude with one leg, I'm not saying it's easy because he has one leg. But he does have.
Does he have an ACL?
One. here's my hot take. Shouldn't he be the strongest person in his weight class? He's missing a third of his body. Right?
I guess you can look at it to an advantage.
No, that's not what I said. Because he's got one leg. That's got to be insane. Like, I mean,
it's not fair. He's got one leg. He's bigger than me. Come on, Caleb. You know excuses are for wusses.
Oh, I love that. No, I can't remember who brought that up when he was, because is that the Minnesota wrestler? Is that where he was at?
Yeah.
He won like two national championships, didn't he? It's like he won a lot.
I thought he didn't have any legs.
No, he had one.
Okay.
He had one leg.
He had one more ACL than that.
Than Spencer Lee. Yeah. That's incredibly freaking incredible.
So he just had to outdo that guy. He's like, how do I outdo a guy with one leg?
Yes. He's like, I want to get on TV.
He's like, I don't necessarily want to cut my legs off, but I'll just cut my ACLs out.
We'll just go no ACLs. Just get him. He's like, Doc, remove them. It's like, you got a match tomorrow. Get out. It's a national championship match. Done. Take it out. I don't
He's
want
He's like ordering his it's like a ordering at a restaurant. He's like, yeah, I'll take this. No ACLs, please.
Yeah. No tomatoes. We're good. No tomatoes. What's your fail?
Tennessee. Throwing shade at them. The SEC will have four teams in the round of 32 for the fourth straight tournament.
Tennessee's not one of them.
Not Tennessee.
Not Tennessee.
And it's, you know, two teams. Tennessee beat two of those teams and should have beat Alabama.
Right.
Makes me want to throw up.
God, you just put me in a bad mood again. What the heck, man?
Sorry.
It's okay. I would have been in a bad – I mean, watching these games, I'm going to get sad. I'm bound to get sad eventually. So, it's okay. I thought I had – I mean, I don't want to, like, joke about this. I mean, we try to joke around fail. But, dude, all the people that tweet at any athletes, at any body, that is, like, death threats and stuff. You know, the Ohio State, it became real popular. And Jared Garantano tweeted. He was like, this is normal, bro. Pray through it and keep moving forward. Like, I hope – I know he's not. I hope he's exaggerating. Like, that shouldn't be a normal thing for any human being ever to get death threats because they didn't perform to your expectations. Right. Like, if I go to a restaurant and the meal sucks, I don't get to give the chef or the waiter death threats. Like, that's not how that works. It's not how it works in anything.
So you don't do that?
Well, this one time – I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, it's just – I hate it. And I hate that there's people out there that are like – you know, they don't necessarily try to justify the death threat thing, but they're like, I mean, we pay good money. They should, you know, they should play better. But no. Like, no. That's not how that works. You don't pay – like, listen, I'm someone who is like, I have spent a ton of my time – a ton of my money cheering on Tennessee sports. But I also know that there is no expectation of them performing how I want them to perform. So, like, I mean, right? Isn't that how, like, pretty much any, like, most, like, that, most of that were, I don't know. It's just, quit tweeting at athletes or DMing athletes. Why are you even doing that?
Yeah, like, have you not taken enough flack for that?
Yeah, and then no death threats. Like, I wish these athletes would, like, straight up out, which I know a lot of them come from burners. I know they do. But just maybe do, that's what we need to figure out. We need to figure out how to create a Twitter function where it's like, you know, because you have to put your phone number, right, to make a Twitter account or an email address.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we want the email address and phone number information if there's death threats.
Oh, no, get the IP address. Yeah, let's knock on some doors.
Well, apparently the Columbus Police Department is investigating it. So,
oh, nice. Good.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Any other fails? Sorry, I didn't mean to get all serious. I just hate that stuff, dude.
I have a fail of the year.
Oh, wow. Landon, it is March.
Yeah, fail of the year. Kylie Jenner, did you hear about this?
No, I don't think so.
So, apparently, her makeup artist has to have, like, emergency surgery after they had an accident. And she made a GoFundMe page for $60,000.
Isn't she, like, a billionaire?
She's a freaking billionaire! She's like, oh, yeah, my friend's really hurt, and... You know, they do all this work on my face to make me look good for Instagram. But, you know, can you all just throw some money her way?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of shitty ass friend is that?
According to Forbes, she's worth $900 million.
Yeah. I think she's like one of the youngest billionaires like ever.
Well, technically she's not a billionaire. But yeah, she's ridiculously wealthy.
She can't though. I mean... I know she's got butt implants, and I'm sure one cheek was over $60,000.
I don't know how much butt implants are worth.
You don't look that up?
Sometimes. I haven't done it in a while, and I know, you know, the rates change.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Hey, you know I made like close to $1 billion, but I think somebody like counted out she makes like $400,000 a day.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's only $400,000 a day. I don't know how she could possibly spare $60,000. Right. Chris said she donated 5,000, which let's just do percentage. Like, what? Hold on a second.
That's it? Oh my God.
I can't even type $900 million in my calculator. That's how much money that is.
I love the somebody tweeted it, and it was just like, it was her, like, when she wasn't that pretty. It was like her, she owes the makeup artist her life.
Wait, Kylie Jenner was like, there was a time in her life she wasn't pretty?
No, she wasn't.
Really? Oh, which Jenner? I'm not thinking of the right Jenner, am I? There's one Jenner that's like gorgeous, isn't there? No, it's the oldest Kardashian that's like was pretty before they were like who they are.
I'll see if I can pull up a picture real quick.
I'm trying. So Chris said she donated $5,000. So hold on one second if I can get this typed out. God, it is less than like – that's a ridiculous percentage of her. $5,000? Does she even – I'm impressed she even knows like where to get anything under like 10 grand. Like, she's like, oh, I have to go to a bank to get that money out? It just seems nuts to me.
Can you see this? Is it too light?
Yeah, I'm not able to see it. I'm sorry. What is it, Kylie? Just send it to me. Okay. David Shank said, what if a requirement for negative social media comments on athletes was 1 year of on-camera documentary of the person's job with viewer tweets on performance? Yeah, no, we should be able to look at what that guy does at his job because I guarantee you it's terrible. Yeah, it's incredibly stupid. I hate that crap. Here's what I'll say. I'm not advocating for death threats. But everyone should let Kylie Jenner know in a you know human way that she should be donating more than $500,000 or $5,000 to somebody that works for you that got in a serious car accident when you're worth over $900 million.
I mean, $400,000, like you've made $5,000 in under an hour.
She's made $5,000 while we're talking.
Yeah.
Like the little conversation we just had.
It's so dumb.
About her. So I'm not saying, you know, don't be mean. Just maybe mention, hey, you know, good employers would do that. I mean, not good employers because that's rare. But like, you know, obviously they're close. Like this isn't like an employer you've never met. And we can get into how terrible corporate America is in general later. But but for someone that like, it, I mean, literally is with you every single day. Hours on end, you can spare some time for them.
It's like a big surgery. It's not like
so they get in a car accident. What happened? I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah, I think it was a car accident. I only heard about this an hour before we started the show, and I was like, nice. Send me that because that is
that's rich. That's good.
Apparently, she took it off her Instagram because she took so much.
Oh, see, it worked. Now there were probably people being incredibly rude to her, so I feel bad for that. Again, no one deserves death threats there.
Florida's down by 3 with 17 seconds left.
Oh, what channel is it on?
True TV.
God dang it. I don't even know like how to navigate this. I just got a YouTube TV. I don't know any of this. This is stupid, but I want to try to find the end of this game. Big Oral Roberts guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to find it. Is it? Oh, it's alphabetical on here.
That's I'll win dumb. Quite a bit of money if they win.
That's dumb. Do a search, Chris. Chris, quit giving me logical things to do. That's dumb. I want to complain. Let me complain. There it is.
But that's all I got for fails. Fail of the year.
That was all my fails. Guys, appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate y'all hanging out as always. We will see you back here on Wednesday. I'm going to talk some more March Madness. Landon will probably have some bad beats for you. Can't wait for those. Oral Roberts is up 3 with 16.3. So I'm getting off here to cheer on a Florida loss. You guys have a great week.
Go Vols. Florida sucks. We're bringing the boat in and we out.
Oh, don't go out.